Krishvanayantamishamatmajamapyamagnam. Devyo Hriya Paridadhuna Sutasya Chitram. Tadvikshya Pritchati Muno Jagadustavasti. Sri Pumbhidana Tusutasya Vivikta Drishtahe. Krishvanu Yantam Rishimatma Jamapya Nagnam. Krishva Pasi Anuyantam, following Rishim, the sage, Atmajam, his son, Api, in spite of, Anagnam, not naked, Devyaha, beautiful damsels, Priya, out of shyness, Paridadhu, covered the body, na, not, Sutasya, of the sun, Chitram, astonishing, Tatviksya, by seeing that, Vrichchati, asking, Muno, unto the Muni, Vyas, Jagadhu, replied, Tava, your Asti, there are Stri Pum, male and female. Stri Pum, actually it's female and male, isn't it? Stri Pum. Bheda, differences. Na, not. Tu, but. Sutasya, of the sun. Vivikta, purified. Drishtahe, of one who looks. This is not much better than the previous version, this microphone stand. We need to get new microphone stands. Down the Mandir. You know where the shop is? It's just down the road, not far from here. Get two. Because I just sag. Eventually you gotta follow the microphone down. Old age. While Srila Vyasadeva was following his son, beautiful young damsels who were bathing naked covered their bodies with cloth. Although Sri Vyasadeva himself was not naked, but they had not done so when his son had passed. The sage inquired about this, and the young ladies replied that his son was purified and when looking at them made no distinction between male and female. But the sage made such distinctions. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 5.18 it is said that a learned sage looks equally on a learned and gentle brahmana. A chandala, dog eater, a dog or a cow due to his spiritual vision. Srila Sukadeva Goswami attained that stage. Thus he did not see a male or female, he saw all living entities in different dress. The ladies who were bathing could understand the mind of a man simply by studying his demeanour, just as by looking at a child one can understand how innocent he is. Srikadeva Goswami was a young boy, 16 years old, and therefore all the parts of his body were developed. He was naked also. And so were the ladies, but because Sukadeva Goswami was transcendental to sex relations, he appeared very innocent. The ladies, by their special qualifications, could sense this at once, and therefore they were not very concerned about him. But when his father passed, the ladies quickly dressed. The ladies were exactly like his children or grandchildren, yet they reacted to the presence of Vyasadeva according to the social custom, because Srila Vyasadeva played the part of a householder. One should therefore attempt to know the distinction between spirit, soul, without any attachment for male and female. As long as such distinction is there, one should not try to become a sannyasi like Sukadeva Goswami. At least theoretically, one must be convinced that a living entity is neither male nor female. The outward dress is made of matter by material nature to attract the opposite sex and thus keep one entangled in material existence. A liberated soul is above this perverted distinction. He does not distinguish between one living being and another. For him, they are all one and the same spirit. The perfection of this spiritual vision is the liberated stage, and Srila Sukadeva Goswami attained that stage. Srila Vyasadeva was also in the transcendental stage, but because he was in the householder's life, he did not pretend to be a liberated soul as a matter of custom. Om Ajnanatime Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaham Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Kuroti Vatsalam Pandurum Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tamaham Mande Sri Gurum Tinacharanam. So there are a number of points here. Prabhupada says here, one should therefore attempt to know the distinction between spirit soul without any attachment for male and female. Which is confirmed by the quotation of 5.18, chapter 5.18 in the Bhagavad Gita. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani suni chayva svapake cha pandita sama darshanaha. So, this was the vision of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami. But it's interesting because does this mean that Vyasadeva wasn't self-realized? No, he wasn't. He was. Yeah. Pandita Samadarshanaha. Vidya, learning. Vidya, Vinaya, humility. Could be humility, vinaya, sampane, being well equipped with or being fully qualified with knowledge, and knowledge means then qualification of knowledge is not pride. Oh, now I'm so educated and so learned, but well, quality of learning is humility because one understands one's spiritual identity. Well, one should understand one's spiritual identity of one's uniqueness, but our uniqueness is that we're a servant and we're dependent upon the mercy of our master, that's Krishna. So a learned person is truly learned when they're also humble. Good qualities manifest in one who's truly learned, and they're able to see the equality of all living beings. This is described in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, nature of the soul, the nature of the body, the owner of the body, the Chetragya, and then also the Sarvagya, the one who the real proprietor, who is Krishna, ultimately the super soul, who is directing the wandings of everybody. Ishvara sarvabhutanam vridesha arjuna tishtati ramayam sarvabhutani janta rudhani mayaya. So we're all situated on a machine Material energy is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita as being a machine, or a variety of machines. Some of us have machines, male bodies, some have female bodies, some have big bodies, some have little bodies, some have characharam, those that move, those that don't move. Elevated bodies, brahmana, or not so elevated, the dog, or even the dog eater, sunichayava svapakecha. So, a person who has really developed spiritual vision, and of course Prabhupada mentions that here, one should therefore attempt to know the distinction between spirit soul. Actually, it's interesting in this sentence. I guess it refers to the previous sentence. And of course we know in the context what Prabhupada says here. One should therefore attempt to know the distinction between spirit, soul and what? Matter. Doesn't say that here, but that's what he means. Without any attachment for male or female, big or small, high or low. And of course that's a qualification of the first qualifications that Krishna recommends. To be detached and to see things from a spiritual perspective. One should try to observe things from the point of view of the Shastra rather than from the point of view of our external observations and our senses. Because, you know, our sensual perception is designed in such a way to see the differences and to appreciate the differences. And in fact, you know, what we see externally is very different to how we can interpret and understand things internally, spiritually. Which is why we need to hear from the Shastra and hear from the sages, hear from the previous acharyas. Why we hear the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita regularly. Because what we see with our senses is very, very different to what we are able to observe by seeing things from the perspective of the Shastra. So Sukadeva Goswami is firmly fixed in this seeing, not from the perspective of the sensual perception, but rather from the perspective of seeing things as they are, from the point of view of the Shastra, or from the point of view of a transcendentalist, from the point of view of, from Krishna's perspective. Even though all of the bodies are different, ultimately we're all the same. At least qualitatively we're all the same, because obviously each one of us is different, mind you. In fact, a devotee becomes expert at seeing things from the spiritual perspective, but that doesn't mean, you know, that we're all one, or that we're all God, as Prabhupada says. You know, sometimes it's said by, for those who say we're all spiritual by nature, so therefore being as qualitatively the same as God, we're as good as God. But actually the devotees don't appreciate that kind of perspective, because it's not true. Even though we're all equal from a spiritual perspective, actually we're all different. You're an individual, I'm an individual. So equal from the spiritual perspective, yes, because we're one in quality. But as individuals, we're all different. That's why each one of us has a different body. Because we're all individually different, and we each one of us, having our differences, have different desires. So even though we understand everybody is spiritual by nature, therefore equal at the same time, and so we have this equal vision, samadarshanaha, At the same time, we also appreciate the variety. The differences are there as well. And that's also a spiritual vision. So, Sukadev Goswami epitomizes, or is the exemplar, if you like, of this vision, this transcendental vision of seeing things from a spiritual perspective. And so therefore, not observing the males and the females, the black and white, and from the material perspective. Of course, usually from the material perspective, we're looking at things and we're looking, you know, is it good for my sense gratification or is it not? So we're accepting and rejecting. Whereas Krishna mentions in the 14th chapter, is it? Rama Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati. From the spiritual perspective, one should actually be seeing things without this analysis of good or bad, male or female. This is a Brahma Bhuta, in the spiritual platform of spiritual vision. It's the topmost. This is the vision of the Uttama Adhikara, you know, the topmost devotee. And as Prabhupada says here, we should be trying to see from that perspective. And in this situation, the ladies, I mean, we could assume that they were taking bath, right? Because usually people don't walk around with no clothes on. So we can assume from the setting that they're, you know, he's by the river or by the bathing ghat. That's the only context that they can think of where this situation might arise. And Sukadeva Goswami is on the transcendental platform, so he's not seeing, because ordinarily, you know, the men wouldn't go anywhere near that, because it's culturally, socially not acceptable. But circumstantially, it appears that Sukadeva Goswami, because he's just on a practically avadut, completely transcendental platform. He's not wearing any clothes. Well, he's just come out of the womb of his mother, basically. And he's left home. And Vyasadeva is following him. And because Sukadeva Goswami is on that transcendental platform, then the ladies, seeing his innocence and his demeanour, you know, his character, his bearing, how he was, as Prabhupada says in the purport, you know, just as we can look at a child and we can see whether he's a rascal or not. Or like being able to look at a child and see whether they're, what they're up to. What are you doing? Nothing. Yeah, sure. What are you doing with that stick in your hand? What are you doing with that stick in your hand? Nothing. What is he doing with the stick in his hand? Oh, he's not doing anything either. So, you know, you can tell when you can tell. The face is the index to the mind, so we can tell by looking at people where they're. Of course, there's also the saying you can't judge a book by its cover. Right? So one has to be. We have to be careful in just observing from the external. That's why we generally. We don't, you know, Sukadeva Goswami's greatness and his demeanor is tested by his speaking of the Bhagavatam. Right? You know, he's But in this situation, the women, the ladies, were able to. Because, well, Prabhupada mentions here, what does he say? He says, the ladies, by their special qualifications, could sense this at once. They were qualified. And they could recognize his transcendental nature. But generally speaking, we don't just judge a person just by looking at them. We also listen to them, hear what they've got to say. No. Then we test what they say by what they do. Otherwise, people can say so many things. And anybody can put tilak on and look like a sadhu. In fact, some people make, you see in India that people put on saffron just to beg. Or you see the sannyasis walking down the road and he's accompanied by his wife and kids. They're all wearing saffron. It's kind of, what's going on here? Right? So, very advanced, experienced. I remember I used to go on, when we would go on Harinam, and some of the older devotees would say to me, we'd be driving along in the combi, going on Harinam, and just chanting japa, and then one of the devotees would say, look at that fella, he's a real demon. And I'd look at him and I couldn't work out the difference between him and the man standing next to him. How do you tell he's a demon and the other one's not? Huh? Look at him, he's a real demon. If we looked at the characteristics of most people in this day and age, then everybody, yes, is a demon. Asura. Because no culture, no spiritual culture. But the ladies obviously were very elevated, and so consequently then they could appreciate the elevated character of Sukadeva Goswami. That's why Sukadeva Goswami was chosen by the sages and rishis who came to witness the passing of Maharaj Parikshit. But then when Vyasadeva came, because Vyasadeva was a householder, because we know that both of them were transcendentalists, they both had spiritual vision. Right? But because Vyasadeva was a householder, and because he's also Vidya Vinaya Sampani, and also Pandita Samadarshanaha, seeing everything from an equal vision. But he was acting as a householder, which is interesting, because. We're encouraged to see everything from a spiritual perspective, and we should see everything from the spiritual perspective, but at the same time, it's not that we ignore the differences. In fact, Prabhupada makes a point very often in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other places also, that whilst the Uttama Adhikari may see everything from a transcendental point of view, still, they'll come down to the Madhyam platform, which means discrimination. The Uttama Adhikari sees everybody from a transcendental point of view, from a spiritual point of view, spiritual perspective. So he offers respect to the ant as much as he does to the king, to all living entities, because he sees them in equality. Samadarshanaha means sees them all the same, and he sees, and this is the proper perspective is to see from a spiritual point of view. It's the whole point of the Bhagavad Gita, the first information. You're not the body, you're a spirit soul. How does the spirit soul get the particular body that he has? Because of the karma that he's performed in previous lifetimes. Why does he get the karma? Because of his desire. How is that desire facilitated? That desire is facilitated by the Ishvara, the Paramatma. There's the Jivatma and the Paramatma. And the Paramatma sits with everyone equally. The dog, the dog eater, the cow, the brahmana, the elephant, directing the wanderings of all of the living entities. So that's the correct vision. But you know, in order to elevate the living entities, we have to discriminate. You know, you often get it that, well, I've seen it. The devotees come to Krishna consciousness, and then you know, all of a sudden they want to feed the pigeons and feed the fish and, you know, elevate all living entities. But really, you know, in one sense, we don't well, we'll give prasadam, but, you know, we don't concentrate on preaching to the fish and the pigeons. We discriminate. We preach to the human beings, and even then not to all human beings. Some human beings are no better than animals, and so you're wasting your time, just like you don't sit down and talk to a pigeon or preach to a dog. The spirit soul, we can appreciate the spirit soul is there, but Madhyama Adhikari has to discriminate. He appreciates the Supreme Personality, well, he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, makes friends with the devotees, avoids the inimical, the antagonistic, those who don't have any appreciation or don't have any inclination or attraction for things spiritual, the asuras. So we avoid the demons. That's how you can tell a demon, if you like, if you want to use that terminology. They're inimical to, or they're averse to, any understanding or appreciation of spiritual principles. They don't like Krishna, basically. They don't like devotees. And they'll, you know, they'll criticize, or they'll avoid, or they'll even attack the devotees. But the devotees will identify they'll make friends with the devotees, and they'll identify those who are innocent, who have some inclination or some attraction for Krishna consciousness, and they'll encourage them. Even though from the transcendental point of view, we understand that everybody's equal, they're spiritual by nature, but at the same time, the Uttama, you know, this vision of the Uttama Adhikari, which we should aspire to, is not practical in when it comes to elevating and helping others. One has to take into consideration the individuality. That's also spiritual vision. Underlying the whole. And that's why we go about, you know, chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said the Hare Das Thakur. How is it that the living entities who are non-moving and have no form as such, how will they be elevated? How will the fallen be elevated in the Kali Yuga? And Hare Das Thakur said, by hearing the Sankirtan, even those who are inimical, by hearing the Sankirtan, they'll get benefit. So the devotees do actually, you know, from one point of view, we see everybody from a spiritual perspective, and we then engage them accordingly. Anybody and everybody can be engaged in the Sankirtan, and by hearing. Okay? whether they like it or not. In fact, some people don't like it. Huh? They hear that. It doesn't happen so much these days because people have become purified, but you'll see it sometimes. They'll put their hand over their ears and they'll shout and yell at the Harinam party. So that's like a general blanket, you know, opportunity for everybody. But and it gradually purifies. Wet grass and dry grass are different in that if you try to light a fire in wet grass, then you don't get anything. But if it will probably happen this year in the summertime when things get really hot and all the grass is dry, because we've just had, you know, a really good season, a lot of rain. So rain in Australia means bushfire in summer, right? That's what it means. So it's the country that we live in. You know, there are some eucalypts in Australia that will not germinate until the seeds have actually been cooked. Yeah. The bushfire in Australia has been so much of the climate of the country for so long that there's some gum tree seeds don't germinate until after they've had a bushfire. So anyway, we want to ignite Krishna consciousness in the hearts of all living entities, but some of them are like wet grass. You can throw a match in and then it'll just go and that's it, out. So they need more drying out. So that's the Harinam, Prasadam, even book distribution, especially book distribution. These are all methods by which we understand. They're all spirit souls, but we know some are more advanced than others. Some have more sukriti. That's their qualification. Sukriti, bhajana mukha sukriti, is explained by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those who have had their piety created for them by being engaged in devotional service will, through the purification that comes as a result of that, will then be more amenable and more favourable to be engaged further in Krishna's service. But to get into that stage requires some purification. Even though we know they're all spirit souls. So, you know, Vyasadeva is operating on that. He's a Uttama Adhikari, but he's functioning on the level of Madhyam, seeing the difference, male and female. And within society, you know, even though we know, yes, everybody's spiritual by nature, still we structure and order society in such a way. So to facilitate that spiritual identity in consideration of the fact that we're all covered by the modes of material nature. Somebody like Trikadeva Goswami is actually a very rare personality. The epitome or the exemplar of this transcendence, this vision of transcendence. And as Prabhupada says here, one should therefore attempt to know the distinction between body and soul without any attachment for male and female. As long as such distinction is there, one should not try to become a sannyasi like Sukadeva Goswami, not to be imitated. And if one aspires for that position, at least, Prabhupada says here, theoretically, one must be convinced that a living entity is neither male nor female. You know, so from, you know, we see the male and the female, the dog and the dog eater, the elephant, the cow, we may see from that. But at least we accept the vision that's given to us by the Bhagavad Gita. We see the soul. Or we should try to see the soul. And alongside of the soul, we see the super soul. Right? We see Krishna directing the wanderings of all living entities. Because the devotee is playing Krishna, please allow them to regain their original spiritual consciousness. And so, and they know that's what Krishna wants. You know, Krishna doesn't want us to stay in the material world, remain under the influence of the material conditioning. He wants us to get out of the material world. But still, he waits for us patiently. That's why he's described as the friend. Upadrasta anumanta cha. Bhakta bhata maheshvaraha. He's the well-wishing friend who sits with us, waiting for us to turn and acknowledge him. So the devotees understand that. Of course, Krishna says in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, there is no one more dear to me than he who gives his knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. Because ultimately everybody has a relationship with Krishna, but most have forgotten it. Or many have forgotten it. So the devotees understand everything theoretically, but they also know how to apply that. Well, the Madhyamadhikari knows how to apply that appropriately, given the conditioning. And therefore we have this, you know, we have the Varnashram culture. We know that we're conditioned by the modes of material nature, and as a result of the association of the modes of material nature, we cultivate or develop certain desires. Then as a result of the desires, we get the bodies that we've got. According to the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. So, society is ordered and structured in such a way so that we leverage the body or the facilities provided by the material energy for the benefit of the individual, the spirit soul, so they can be elevated, gradually elevated out of the material conception into the spiritual conception of life. So theoretically we should understand, but not only theoretically, we should try to see in that way. That's a whole process of bhakti yoga, is to ultimately come to this transcendental platform. Even though we may act according to the rules and regulations of the scripture and discriminate based on the external, that's all to facilitate the elevation of the internal spirit soul so that they can be reconnected with Krishna. Yeah, so Vyasadeva, acting on the platform of Madhyamadhikari, follows the social customs. You know, if everybody was to walk around as another dude with no clothes on, you know, and you get that, you know, there's imitation. Oh, we're all spiritual by nature, you know, so it doesn't matter, we're all transcendental. But then people get exploited. This is a very rare, you know, platform to be on. Even Prabhupada, you know, who's a liberated soul, still acted very much under the, you know, the Varnashram or the, you know, social restrictions are there, or social, what's the word, order is there to facilitate a gradual progression of spiritual advancement. To imitate somebody like Sukadeva Goswami without that spiritual qualification is a disaster, you know, creates a disaster. Shruti Shriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhimvina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Utpat Dayaiva Kalpati. Utpat means disturbance. So, you know, when people, you know, even somebody like Sukadeva Goswami, in this day and age, if, you know, Sukadeva Goswami is walking down Swanson Street with no clothes on, really, the culture just can't cope with that kind of, not qualified. You know, these people, here, people qualified to see how elevated they are. They can see Sukadeva Goswami is a very elevated personality. If somebody with that demeanour was to present in culture, in the society today, they would not be appreciated. They'd be put in the insane asylum or something. Huh? So even very advanced devotees in this day and age still adhere to the norms. So Vyasadeva is adhering to the norm for the upliftment of others. That's our business. For the benefit of others. So this is obviously very unique. This is a unique situation. Sukadeva Goswami is unique. The ladies are unique. Vyasadeva is unique personality. They're transcendentalists. They're not bound up by the material conception. So those who are bound up by the material conception, or who are getting out of the material conception, still have to adhere to these norms for appropriate social interaction, for gradual elevation to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, as Prabhupada points out here, you know, the material bodies that we have are meant for attracting others, right? And it's bewildering. The female form bewilders the male. The male form bewilders the female. These are facts of life. Okay, we know that we're not the body, that we're not male or female, but at the same time we're conditioned by them. That's why we don't all walk around with no clothes on. Huh? In fact, you know, there is a society that walks around with no clothes on. Do you know what that society is? Animals. Yes, the animals. You know, Bhima, the dog down the farm, he doesn't know that he's walking around with no clothes on. Huh? He thinks it's normal. I'm okay. You know, if we were walking around with no clothes on, I'd be like, ah. I remember I used to have these dreams as a kid, and I'd suddenly realise all I was wearing was my singlet. And I'd be trying to pull my singlet down to cover myself up. You know, this is a human form of life. We don't walk around with no clothes on. That's what got Manigriva and Nala Kuvera into trouble. Huh? They were so intoxicated and so in ignorance, they didn't realise that having no clothes on was inappropriate. That's animal. The culture of the animals. And so therefore they were cursed. Okay, you want to stand around with no clothes on? No problem. That's what trees do all the time. Whereas a cultured society understands the importance of these to curb the animal tendencies, the animal propensities in us. There's rules and regulations, there's rules of culture. Ultimately to support the spiritual understanding and perspective of things as they are. And that's our business, is to model, you know, the appropriate behaviour, the correct behaviour, in the context of a culture that aims to get free from that identification. But we know the power and the potency of the material energy to distract and to distort and to again cover us over, especially for the devotees. You know, Prabhupada talks about the Avaranatmika and the Pratyekpatmika Shakti. For most, the Maya Shakti keeps them covered so that they're happy thinking I'm this body. It's the Avaranatmika Shakti. So, as Prabhupada says, you know, the pig is happy eating stool. So when we're in India, you know, we see the hogs rummaging around in the gutters, and his tail's wagging, and we're thinking, that's disgusting. Huh? But the hog is happy. He's thinking, oh, fantastic. You know. At Govardhan, every day they have a big clean up, and near the bus stop they put all of the rubbish, they sweep it all up and they stick it in a pile there, all the mess, the straw and the stool and everything, everything out of the gutter, they sweep it up and put it in a pile, and then on top of the pile was this big hog. I got a picture of it. This big hog just lying in this big pile of rubbish, and he's in dreaming. Oh, this is fantastic. You know, we look at him and think, oh, you disgusting creature. Of course, he's you know, Prabhupada says if you misbehave in Vrindavan, he said, well, you'll take birth again as a hog or a monkey, or, you know. So that's a benefit. He said, better that finish up our business in this lifetime, don't come back again, even if it's in Vrindavan. But the material energy has that potency, you know, to bewilder us and to cover us over. So therefore we're very careful. We should be very careful about being influenced again and thinking, you know, that there's some pleasure. But there's the special potency that keeps the Avaranatmika Shakti, keeps the living entities in Maya, happy in Maya. Whereas there's a special potency for the devotees that wants to pull us back down into that, to test us, to ultimately to strengthen us. So therefore we have structured, ordered systems as recommended by the Shastra, which we follow carefully so that we can avoid this attraction and be then gradually elevated to the platform of spiritual identification and spiritual perspective within the context of the Varnashram, you know, within the context of appropriate engagement according to our propensities, according to the body that we've got, natural, psychophysical characteristics, and our ashram. So, you know, Sukadeva Goswami is Paramahamsa, Avadutta Paramahamsa. So he can act in that way. Whereas Vyasadeva is acting as a householder. Even though he also is a Paramahamsa, just like Prabhupada, he's a Paramahamsa, but acts acts within the Varnashram system, if you like, within the ordinary course of affairs, in order to set an example. So that we'll all gradually be elevated to this platform of spiritual identification and spiritual vision. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on these points?